Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I want to talk about being woke or being awakened. The secular humanists, the political left in our country are referring to themselves as being woke. That is, when one wakes up and agrees with the cultural Marxist worldview. However, the Bible also speaks about being awakened when one wakes up and confesses to the truth of Christ, which is the counterposition of modern-day Marxist wokeism. So there are actually two awakenings. One can either be awakened to the doctrine of cultural Marxism or awakened to the doctrine of Christ. And isn't it interesting that in the Bible, it states that when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. So there is an opening of the eye toward evil. But this is not simply a description of merely discerning what is evil, but the mind is being opened to agree with the evil. Like when Cain realized he might as well just simply kill Abel. Or when Adonijah exalted himself and imagined that he should be the king. Or when Caiaphas, the high priest, came to the conclusion that Jesus needs to be put to death for the whole nation. Or when Judas realized he could betray Christ to the Sanhedrin for some money. And there are many biblical examples of people coming to their own realization that sin is the right thing to do. James chapter 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust, lust being sinful desires of any kind. When lust is conceived, it brings birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Sin in the heart has a conception, a birth. And with that birth comes many rationalizations and justifications. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, "Behold, I have found out this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices." And if you look up this Hebrew word devices in any Hebrew lexicon, it's not referring to machines, but to new ideas. And yes, when these ideas and beliefs are realized or conceived, it's an awakening. It's being woke. It's a conversion. It's a turning. It's an emotional religious experience, but toward the other side. It is a love and commitment to the darkness. John chapter 3, verse 19, men love the darkness. They actually have a love toward it, rather than loving the light. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, they love the wages of unrighteousness. Or Romans chapter 2, verse 8, they do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. It's an act of obedience. And I've spoken to many people who have claimed to be awakened by sin, and I'm sure you have too, you know, such as the young person who says, "My eyes are open, and I finally realize that I do not have to follow my biological gender. I can become the opposite sex," or the woman who says, "I came to realize I don't have to be in convenience with this baby. I can simply abort it." And what an affirming and comforting revelation that was. Or the spouse who is awakened and realizes that he or she can simply ignore the vows and walk out of the marriage. And I believe what's happening in our world today is that many unsaved people are waking up and realizing that they have been submitting to Christian morality, a morality that they don't agree with. And it's like they've been in a fog for years, and finally they're waking up and saying, "Why have we been following all of these traditional morals and social laws concerning marriage and gender and the protection of life and economic accountability and self-control? Besides, my university professor has convinced me that all of these social taboos are simply made up human constructs. made up by the powerful for the sole purpose of oppressing the weak. So what used to be called righteousness is now being called oppression. People are now waking up and seeing that they can be morally free, that they can do their own thing, that they can be their own authentic self and agree with their sinful nature, that they can create their own moral reality, because man is God. Or at the very least, the God who is certainly must be agreeing with our desires. And this is what is meant by, I am now woke. Now, the Bible speaks about another kind of awakening, an awakening to righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, awake to righteousness. Or Romans chapter 13, verse 11, knowing the time that it's already the hour for you to awake from sleep. Ephesians 5, 14, awake sleeper and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Ephesians 1, 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in whose case the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And also John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And also the blind man in John chapter 9, who said, though I was blind, but now I see. Being awakened is an illustration or a metaphor for salvation. I was recently speaking with a woman who just joined our church. She said that when she was in college, she finally came to the end of herself and cried out to God for salvation. And it was as if she had been asleep all of her life and finally came awake. You know, I think of Keith Green's song, Your Love Broke Through. Like a foolish dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky, all my hopes would come tumbling down, but I never knew just why. Until a day that you rolled away the clouds that hung like curtains on my eyes. I'd been blinded all these wasted years, and I thought I was so wise. But then you took me by surprise. Like waking up from the longest dream, how real it seemed. Until your love broke through, I'd been lost in a fantasy that blinded me. Until your love broke through. And I love that song. And if you want to think in terms of a classic hymn, The Testimony of Charles Wesley and the song, And Can It Be? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye, God's eye diffused or sent a quickening, life-giving ray. I woke the dungeon aflame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That's also one of my favorites. And of course, we all know Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The Christian is awakened in salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we have been quickened by Christ. Titus chapter 3, we've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But there is an alternative awakening. Being awakened to the ideology of Satan, where one comes to agree with the arguments of Satan, what's now being called being woke. And in a moment, I'll explain all of the ideological and theological differences between being awakened to God versus being awakened to Satan. But first, just recognize that we're all going to come to a crossroad in life where our religious conversion will either be for God or for the devil, whether we know it or not. We'll either go toward the darkness that professes to be the light, or we will go toward the true light. John chapter 12, so Jesus said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of the light. Now, I've addressed this subject of wokeness, CRT, Marxism, many times in this program, but the occasion for addressing it again is that Jim Banks, congressman from Indiana, has started an anti-woke caucus in Congress. Just like there's the Freedom Caucus in Congress that includes some of the conservative stalwarts, like Jim Jordan or Scott Perry or Mark Meadows. And there are about 45 Republicans in the Freedom Caucus. There is also, on the other side, the Progressive Caucus, a far leftist. And that's about 100 House members. Jim Banks now plans to create another specific group of congressmen who identify as anti-woke. Now, like the Freedom Caucus, this is not an official group in Congress. The names of the members are not published. They meet privately, but they work together to promote a conservative agenda. The intent of this new caucus is to identify and oppose woke policy. And wokeness is a religion. It is transcendent ideology based upon faith. And at the very least, remember the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law establishing a religion. So why did Banks create this group? He explains in an op-ed. To quote, help myself and other Republicans better understand the long tentacles of the wokeness regime, the laws, the regulations, and the funding sources which support it, and explore legislative responses. And that we will find strength in numbers. An anti-woke caucus with members on the Appropriations and Energy and Commerce Committee, the Judiciary Committees will work together to offer amendments that defund and expose wokeness at the NIH, the Justice Department, and every other federal agency. No bill that spends taxpayer dollars on leftist activities should pass out of committee without a record vote on an amendment to defund wokeness. House Republicans must tackle this great domestic threat to America today. Now, what I find telling about Congressman Banks is that he's a Christian. He graduated from Grace College and Seminary in Indiana. And we have come to a place in our country that those who will stand up for traditional American values are only those with a strong Christian faith and worldview. You know, as far as the agnostics and the nominal Christians, they have all been taken in by the lie that the government should be all about giving people moral freedom, that the state is to make no moral judgments based upon theistic values. I mean, even many Republicans think this way, that freedom is now the basis for morals, and freedom now is the highest ethic rather than the law of God. So in the end, it's only going to be the Christians standing up for what are called historic American values. Everyone else who is not born of God will eventually follow the Antichrist spirit. I also find interesting that Jim Banks has identified the ideological problem or this ideological error, destroying America, this religion of the political left. And the left itself has given it the title of being woke. Now, it's taken a while, but finally, some political leaders are beginning to understand the core philosophy of wokeism and now calling it out for what it is. But even today, if you were to ask members of your church, what is wokeism? You'll probably find that only 10% of church members could actually give you an answer. Now, they may understand the core error once the jargon is explained, but they're generally unaware of the nomenclature. To know about wokeism, you have to be an avid reader of the news, or at least having read some books on the subject of CRT and wokeism, such as, got two books here by James Lindsay, Race Marxism, and also Cynical Critical Theories, which really tells you really what's going on in the world. Well, if you're not up to speed on this, that's what this program is all about. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. So in this editorial, Congressman Bank defines woke in a couple of sentences. And it needs to be constantly defined because people really don't get it until the 10th time it's explained. At least that was my case. Quote from Banks. The most toxic part of this tyranny is its doctrine, wokeness. So notice Banks properly identifies it as a doctrine, a system of beliefs behind the current immorality and Marxist policies being pushed in our society today. And it's a doctrine of demons. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Banks. The most toxic part of this tyranny is its doctrine, wokeness. Everyone has by now heard this word, but it means something very specific. It means that all of the so-called oppressor groups must be punished for their past and present alleged sins. There are many steps to punishing them, inducing self-hatred through indoctrination, stripping away their rights by not enforcing the law on their behalf, public humiliation, hatred, expropriation, and ultimately violence. And what does wokeness mean for the so-called oppressed? It means privileged status, exemption from certain laws and norms, and the public recognition that their views are unimpeachable. They cannot be contradicted by reason, they cannot be doubted, but must be believed. Now, Banks could have done a little better job in defining wokeism, but simply recognize that the core ideology of wokeism is this belief that you're being oppressed by other people and by other values. Now, at first, it may appear that wokeism is merely about racial oppression, but that was dealt with in the 1960s. This new oppression narrative is that people are now being oppressed by cultural moral values, specifically traditional economic and Christian morals. Wokeism and critical theory are called cultural Marxism. So here's the short of that. You know, the theory of Karl Marx was that workers were being oppressed by business owners. Rather than seeing business relationships as being mutually beneficial, Marx believed ownership and the free market are oppression. But of course, ownership and the free market have dramatically increased the wealth of everyone. So economic Marxism fell upon bad times. But the Marxist philosophers repackaged the philosophy to say, well, it's not just economic oppression that you should be concerned about and that you should fight against, but moral oppression and racial oppression. And just like the Marxists at the beginning of the 20th century stirred up the masses to overturn the current system because they claimed economic oppression was systemic in the system, current cultural Marxists are doing the same thing, stirring people up by claiming that oppressive values are systematic or systemic in the American system. And therefore, the whole system needs to be overthrown, the Constitution and our history. So, transgenders and homosexuals, they see themselves as being oppressed by Christian morality, and therefore the Christian worldview must be expunged from society. And transgenderism must now be taught in schools rather than the biblical concept of the man and the woman. Children must be taught that gender is a made-up religious social construct, and children can now choose their own gender. And these people are serious about this. Now, the economic angle of wokeism, the economic Marxist doctrine, is still being pushed, that we're being oppressed by the free market. And We're all being oppressed by this accountability and responsibility to produce goods and services that other people want to buy. Instead, we should be free to follow our own path without economic pressure oppressing us. So therefore, the government should redistribute wealth and give us grants, provide for us easy government jobs and contracts. And that's really what's behind the government borrowing 40 cents on every dollar it spends. Economic accountability is considered oppression. We should be able to make up our own reality financially. And there is also a law enforcement angle to wokeism, no jail, no bail, that it's unfair for criminals to be punished for their crimes because they're being oppressed by this social construct that their crimes are such a big deal. The oppression narrative that righteous laws are oppressive feeds into the lawlessness of the last days. The legalization of marijuana, the legalization of gambling, the legalization of prostitution. This is the lawlessness that's prophesied. And now we're seeing the woke ideology that is justifying it. Now, the actual racism aspect of wokeism, that America was founded on racism, that all of our laws and our institutions are inherently racist, is actually a very small part of wokeism. It's only used as a wedge, a lie, to further the anti-Christian cultural narrative. Even the founders of BLM admitted that they were LGBTQ Marxists. Now, the average person, again, he can get lost in all of the weeds of woke ideology, but all of its tentacles come out of that one basic idea that I'm being oppressed by a transcendent ethical moral value or values attributed to God. And those values, therefore, must be overthrown. Not only are those values not good, those values are now being considered evil. And you're evil if you hold to those Christian values, whether they be economic Christian values or moral Christian values. And so woke ideology is the lie that is causing the American people to actually live out Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, calling evil good and good evil, calling darkness light and light darkness, calling going toward the darkness being awakened by the light. And I've said this a million times, and I'm going to say it again. Wokeism is the original lie of the devil. The devil only has one tool in his toolbox. And the argument that he used in his rebellion against God in heaven, and the argument that he used against Eve in the garden, was that God was an oppressor. He's keeping you down with all of his rules. He has no right to be your authority. I was just reading again Ibram Kendi's woke book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. And he explained his woke philosophy as, quote, pointing us toward liberating new ways of thinking. And it's liberating, all right. The prophecy of Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth take their stand, and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. So for all of the, you know, sophisticated philosophy of wokeism and the political verbiage, wokeism comes down to that same old lie of Satan that God is an oppressor. Go ahead and eat the forbidden fruit. And that's how we should explain wokeism to our family, to our friends and neighbors and coworkers. Also, we must not only work to help the church understand the errors of wokeism. There's just one more thing that even those who understand the error have not yet come to realize. And that is how widespread, how popular, and how entrenched this doctrine really is. The whole world is becoming woke. There is a worldwide revival of secular humanism, a revival of agreeing with Satan's primal contention. Jim Banks points this out in his op-ed. This utterly un-American doctrine would be comical if it weren't so powerful. And it is so powerful because it is enforced not only by every major national institution, it is promoted and funded by the federal government itself. The Biden administration imposes these beliefs in schools, in the military, in government agencies, and in the private sector. It not only wants us to hate each other, it is funding this hatred and fanning its flames. What do you think will be left of our nation once more and more people accept wokeness and act on its principles? Then Bank points out that Biden has signed an executive order requiring every government agency to present an equity report for their agency, basically hire DEI officers, diversity, equity, and inclusion officers. And make no mistake about this, the philosophy of DEI is to create moral equivalency between morality and immorality, to make all things equal, to teach that having moral objections to immorality is immoral. These government departments aren't hiring Christian chaplains to guide government employees in the truth of God. They're not teaching the principles of Jesus, what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. The state is promoting the doctrine of demons, the ideology of the Antichrist. And this is prophetic. And why is this happening? Because this is what happens when God and the Bible are removed from the public square out of this lie, this claim that government schools and public institutions all need to be secular. Eventually, what fills the vacuum is radical secular humanism. So Bank writes, first, House Republicans should first pass legislation to rescind Executive Order 13985, Biden's equity executive order that directs every single federal agency to produce an equity action plan. Chuck Schumer would certainly strike it down, but it's important for Republicans to make a unified statement in opposition to the left's abandonment of equality under the law. Now, as an aside here, the left's response to Congressman Banks' anti-woke caucus is very telling. Rachel Maddow with MSNBC, an avowed lesbian, did a piece about this creation of the anti-woke caucus. And the only way she could interpret it is by claiming it is made up moral panic to get authoritarian power. It's like the Nazis demonizing their opponents, or Putin forcing people out who disagree with him, or the Salem witch trials. She's really parroting the very oppressive narrative of wokeism that moral values are oppression, and if you're opposed to wokeism, then you're an oppressor. For these secular relativists, God's law is sinful authoritarianism. In fact, Jesus could have been called an authoritarian by the Pharisees because Jesus promoted his authority over theirs. The irony here is that the left is the most authoritarian because in order to enforce Marxism, the state needs to hold a gun to people's heads. And in the Revelation, we see that the Antichrist lawless system is extremely authoritarian. Here's another article where a leading Republican is also saying that if you're against the transgender agenda, you are an authoritarian. So just be aware of this term authoritarian. It's going to be the new popular title being used against conservative Christians. The ungodly will call you what they're doing themselves. But when they do it, it's called good governance and social justice. Now, in closing, I'd like to compare the doctrinal differences between being woke versus being awakened to Christ. There is a different confession concerning what is true, different opposing beliefs. The typical college student soaks up wokeism very subtly from his university professor. And the student is generally clueless about the other side of the story, which is God's side, biblical truth. And it's very easy to convince people that they're oppressed, to convince people that their sinful nature needs to be affirmed. People love to consider themselves victims. But it takes a miracle of God, a work of the Holy Spirit, for people to deny themselves, to pick up the cross and to follow Christ. So in short, here are just 4 points of comparison. First, being awakened to God and to Christ begins with an acknowledgement that there is an absolute holy law of God to which we must conform. That seems obvious, but that's radical in today's secular culture. Today, people are a law unto themselves. Their nature and their desires are the standard. But God has established what is called in the legal profession natural law, the law of nature and nature's God. God has established gender and marriage and certain sexual behavior, property rights, work. It all seems obvious, but this is what mankind is rebelling against in our day. And the Christian confesses that God has a right to determine the moral universe, that his laws are right because he said so. And it has nothing to do with our traditions or our preferences, though some religious people, unfortunately, only agree with God on that basis. But ultimately, the Christian agrees with God, regardless of traditions or preferences. Now, this truth is a necessary foundation in coming to God for salvation, for being awakened to God. The second truth involves the confession that I am a sinner. I'm not a victim. I'm the criminal in the story. I shouldn't be out to be judging others as much as judging myself. And the problem is not that I'm being oppressed by others. The problem is that I have a wicked heart and I personally have spurned God's moral law. I am the dysfunctional one. The problem with the Jewish nation in the time of Christ was that they blamed all of their problems on the Roman Empire when the problem was their problems were really their own sinful dysfunction. Now, here's where we need to do some explaining in answering the critics. Because the Bible does speak about oppression and being sinned against by others. Recognize that wokeism is a Christian heresy. In other words, it has to borrow some morals from Christianity in order to survive. Because wokeism is all about pointing out other people's guilt and sin. But in a secular worldview, there can be no such thing as moral sin. We're all just animals operating by instinct. It's survival of the fittest. So who cares if one group is oppressing another group? It's all natural. So the irony is that the left has to talk as if there are moral absolutes for their side, as if there is a God on their side. And this is a real problem. This is something that the left wants to keep under wraps. They don't want people to start asking too many questions like, what's your authority? But in that wokeism is a Christian heresy, it plays off of and twists what the Bible teaches about sinful oppression. But it exchanges the oppressor and the oppressed, where the righteous are now the oppressors and the unrighteous are the ones being oppressed. Biblically, the so-called powerful are not oppressing the weak by promoting God's moral law concerning sexuality. In fact, supporting God's moral law is saving the weak from the oppression of their own lust. The Bible does speak about unrighteous oppression. And the Bible does address being sinned against. But the error of wokeism is a matter of emphasis. The emphasis becomes that your main problem is that you're sinned against rather than you're a sinner. And that is how the lie becomes so deceiving. The lie doesn't deny the truth. the lie inverts the emphasis. If you're ever to be saved by Christ, you must abandon your victim mentality and pray as David prayed, Psalm 51. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Most of our problems, not all, but most of our problems are our own fault. And those problems that are not our own fault can be easily overcome by our obedience to God. There are two videos circulating in the conservative blog sphere, and they're great examples of wokeness in practice. The first is from a Disney cartoon. The characters are chanting the woke doctrine of oppression.
This country was built on slavery, which means
slaves built this country.
Tilled this land from sea to sea to sea. First there was rice, tobacco, sugar cane.
Then Whitney did his thing and cotton became cane.
And we were its soldiers,
4 million strong,
fighting for America's freedoms even though we remained America's
slaves.
Built this country, the descendants of slaves continue to build it.
Slaves built this country.
And we, the descendants of slaves in America, have earned reparations for their suffering.
And continue to earn reparations every moment we spend submerged in the systemic prejudice, racism, and
white supremacy
that America was founded with and still has not atoned for.
Slaves built this country.
Now, there's much that can be said in refuting the premise of that piece. The whole concept of reparations being paid by people who didn't commit the sin and paid to people who weren't directly sinned against is unbiblical. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, fathers shall not be put to death for their sons, nor shall sons be put to death for their fathers. You know, I really don't have a case against the Anglo-Saxons who invaded my homeland in the 7th century, or against the French who invaded my homeland in 1066, or a case against the overlords who put my family into indentured servanthood during the days of feudalism. I don't even have a case against Italy because the Italians killed my family in Christ in the Roman Colosseum in the great persecutions against Christians. Also, it's a complete fabrication that slaves built America. The black commentator Thomas Sowell addresses this myth at length in his work. Historically, countries that have had slaves have always been hurt economically. There's no such thing as a prosperous slave state. All of the industry and advancements in America came out of the North, where the workers were paid, and where a middle class was created. Slavery in the South was an economic negative for America. It was a complete waste of human lives and effort. But really, the main argument against this Disney video is the superior Christian worldview concerning past evils, the words of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. His brothers sold him into slavery, and rather than seeking out the punishment or punishment upon them or asking for reparations, what did Joseph say? Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrongs which we did to him?" They thought Joseph was going to go all woke on them. But Joseph says to them, verse 19, "Do not be afraid, for I'm in God's place. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." To save many people alive. Even though Joseph's brothers had evil intent, God turned it around for their good. So who were they to complain? I have this book by Keith Richburg, Out of America, A Black Man Confronts Africa. In his travels to Africa, he learned it was not the place that black activists in America made it out to be. He was confronted with the ignorance, the abject poverty, the laziness, the disease, the war, all of the crime. The reality is, if these black families weren't taken to America in the 18th century, by far the majority of them would have died off in Africa. Many of them killed by their own tribes. God allowed evil people to bring Africans to America so they could be blessed in the long run. Yes, slave traders meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, so we're to be thankful. Notice in Genesis chapter 50, the difference in the Christian worldview and how it results in a different attitude and a completely different narrative. But now that America is abandoning God's truth, look at how the satanic narrative is coming out of the woodwork. One more video. An extreme example of where wokeism, where the oppression narrative leads. And here we have a young American Indian student who is blaming white people for her obesity.
I'm going to prove to you why white people are the reason I'm fat today. If white people didn't go looking for spices, then various sea routes to Indian subcontinent and Africa and other places of the world would not get discovered. And if they didn't get discovered, then East India Company would never come to Indian subcontinent. And if they didn't come, then the fertility of the land would not get destroyed because they forced us to cultivate tobacco and dyes and opioid, things like that, and that destroyed the fertility of my country. And then if that didn't happen, and if they didn't exploit and extract resources until my ancestors were left with nothing to eat, we wouldn't move to this grain-heavy, very little nutritious diet that we have today.
So she says she's going to prove to you why white people are the reason why she is fat. Notice the logic. If this didn't happen, then this wouldn't have happened. If the Europeans didn't have the motive of oppressing others, I wouldn't be obese. Notice that trade is not viewed as a motive to do business, to survive in this world, to everyone's mutual benefit. But business is being depicted as a motive of oppression. Where does this student learn these doctrines? How does she begin to make these connections? From woke, CRT, secular humanist professors who are far from God and are ignorant of biblical truth. Professing to be wise, they're fools. The Bible addresses this kind of victimization mindset in Proverbs 28:13, as he who is concealing his transgressions. But that person will never prosper as long as they have that victim mindset. But the one who confesses and forsakes his transgressions will have compassion. I'm also reminded of Acts chapter 8, Peter's words to Simon. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. That's wokeism, the gall of bitterness. Real quick, two more foundational doctrines that are foundational to being awake in Christ. Number three, being awake to Christ means realizing that the source of your identity should not be your race or your sexuality, but your relationship with God. There is only one division in this world that really matters. The division between the saved and the unsaved. Divisions according to race, economic status, fame, intelligence, that's judging according to the flesh. Your identity, your life purpose, your meaning can only be found in your relationship with God by being redeemed through Christ. God and personal salvation is the goal. Seek first that vertical relationship, and then all of the horizontal relationships will take care of themselves. Number four, being awakened to Christ means being grateful and accepting the different gifts that God hands out. We don't have to be equal with everyone else. God gives some people more and some people less. And these things don't matter. And rather than being unthankful for what we don't have, we should be thankful for what we do have. All things, even unequally distributed talents and gifts, work together for good to those who love God. What you think are stumbling stones that are holding you back in life are actually your stepping stones. Just obey God and do what He's called you to do, and He will exalt you. What's happening in wokeism is Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they didn't honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, their ideology, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They weren't being woke. They were being pushed into the darkness. The path away from God is ingratitude. The path back to God is gratitude. So in order to be awakened to Christ and to God, these underlying assumptions in these four areas must be changed. And this goes very deep in regard to how people see themselves in the world. The other day I noticed in Scripture the idea of being prepared for salvation. Psalm chapter 78, verse 8. A generation that didn't prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Then also Matthew chapter 11, verse 10, about the prophet John preparing the way of the Lord. What is that all about? How is it that probably no one would have received Christ if John the Baptist did not prepare their hearts with his teaching? A woke generation who thinks in terms of woke ideology and a woke worldview will be impervious to the gospel message. And that's why so many people are not coming to Christ in any significant numbers in our day. They haven't had their hearts first prepared to see themselves and the world biblically. Instead, they're being held hostage and blinded by Satan's narrative. There's a new movie coming out called The Jesus Revolution, about the revival of young people in California who came to Christ during the hippie movement. The movie is called The Jesus Revolution. And a movie poster reads, "A Jesus Revolution happened before it can happen again." Well, of course it can. But it's not going to happen if the ground of the heart is not prepared, if the heart is not prepared with a biblical view of self and the world. You know, I believe the harvest of souls back in the 1960s can be attributed to the fact that the young generation at that time still thought in terms of many Christian values. The media is talking about a revival going on at Asbury Seminary. If it's real, it must involve a rejection of wokeism and an embracing of a biblical worldview, a repentance, which means a change of mind. Because revival will only come about by the teaching of Christ's truth. Only then will people truly be awakened. So thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.